Well, my title tonight is My Shoes Are Too Tight. How many of you remember when you were a kid, you were growing, and then you begged your mom or your dad for some new shoes, and your mom would say, well, you'll grow into them. Well, it's the same thing with our spiritual growth. Sometimes we just start to feel uncomfortable. We start to feel some discontent. And we can let that discontent push us to grow. And it can be a bigger pair of shoes. It's time to step out. And the question I want to ask you is, do you really want to grow? Do you want to wear your tight shoes and just be comfortable and complacent and live where you are? Or do you want to move on to the next phase, the next step? We all have a wall, an obstacle. I don't know what your wall is or your obstacle, and maybe you don't know what it is, but us are staring down. There's something that we are looking at that seems impossible to overcome. I don't know what your situation is, but there is something in every one of our lives that we are looking at, and we don't know how to deal with it. We don't know how to handle it. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a path before each human. We look at our situations, we analyze them, we try to make the most logical. It may seem illogical. It may seem scary. It may seem something that we just don't want to do. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in the New Living Translation says to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on the path to take. Circumstance. I have circumstances in my life and it seems like, oh, come on, can't things be easier? Why does it have to be this way? But we can take our circumstances and we can get frustrated with our circumstances, or we can take our circumstances and we can use them. It can be big things that come our way, and we often create them, our circumstances, from poor choices that we've made, from trying to use our logic and not trusting in the Lord and looking to His Word. But even those circumstances that we find ourselves in, that we didn't move on and grow. Focus on our circumstance, we will take our focus off of the Lord. As Christians, we look at our problem, we focus on our problem, we mess things, and we get stuck on them. But these are the very things we can springboard into from where we are, into growth, into slavery. Here's a man that grew up having dreams, having things that was sold into slavery. He was imprisoned, but God had promised circumstances and think, this is impossible. Literally, do. I'm in prison. But what did he do? He stuck through it. He trusted about circumstances as it can take time. What about for years, Saul hunted him down and he had to hide to build a boat. Nobody's ever even seen a boat. Thought he was crazy. His wife probably lost faith in him a few times and thought, well, or have spaghetti and meatballs. Why is it that he had heard from the Lord? He was convinced and he stuck with it. Things came. And he and his family were saved because he listened to the Lord no matter how things looked. And things had to have looked crazy back then. So no matter how crazy your circumstances look, these are some examples of how God came through. All of these men faced more than difficult circumstances, and God still used them mightily. Joseph, sold and hunted down by Saul. Abraham, waiting to have a son in his old age. Is that? But the Lord still said, I've promised you this. How many times could he have done? Maybe he put it out of his mind sometimes. But it's like he knew. The Lord has spoken to him. And the Lord fulfilled his promise and gave us Isaac. All these men faced impossible walls that seemed that God had forgotten what he promised them. How many times could Noah have gotten up every morning, gotten his tools out, trust God and say, I'm going to continue to work on this boat, and just decades of doing this and trusting the Lord, and the Lord came through for him. What is your wall? It may appear so overwhelming that you can't see the top of it or any way around it. Your wife, I'm convinced that everyone here is facing something that may seem impossible. Big, maybe it's something that you're dealing with, a family member, no matter how high the wall is that you seem you cannot get over. Eyes. It may be 60 foot tall, it may be a stumbling block, keeping you up. Maybe you're just living some life and there's just one thing, just this little thing that you just can't let go of. And it's stopping you from fulfilling what God has for you. And it seems impossible. It really doesn't matter how big the wall is. As long as there is an obstacle, you are going to feel incapable. The obstacle can keep you from growing. However, that can cause growth. God likes to do things that seem impossible. He likes to do things that are opposites. In Revelations, it talks about dipping, telling Naaman to go bathe in the river 7 times and he'll be healed of leprosy. Why would you ask me to do these things? This is stupid. Why would I do this? And these things can cause growth. So I ask you again, what is your wall? What is the circumstance that is facing you that you seem impossible? The first thing to do that is keeping you from growing. Some of you know exactly what it is that is keeping you from the next level. Others will need to ask God to reveal what it is that is keeping them from moving on to the next level. Pushing through. I had a mom and a sister. And as a kid, I would go shopping with my mom and sister, and I got sick of looking at women's clothes. And they were there was always on the clearance racks where they were like stuffed with clothing, you know, really tight, you know. And so I would push through the clothes and I'd stick myself in there and then I'd hide in the rack and I thought it was funny, you know, and then my mom would panic because she didn't know where I was, and I'm just like, well, you're taking forever, when are we ever gonna leave? Yeah, you know, you've been here for an hour. We've been here for an hour. Exactly. I would have to push through and get to the inside of the rack where my mom... Pushing through the wardrobe. C.S. Lewis's story about entering a whole other world of garments to the other side. How fun if I had been shopping with my mom and there was a wardrobe full of clothes. And I pushed through it, finding a wardrobe lost in some old building could present a set of doors to open and then enter in, push past those things that are keeping here in our mundane existence. Pushing through the crowds. Mark 5:27. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. This could not have been an easy thing to do. If you've ever been stuck in a crowd, there was a fall festival down here the other day and I had my kids and friends and it was just like, this is ridiculous. Here's a woman that has a problem and she is convinced if she can push past those things, no matter how tightly packed they are, no matter how hard it is to get to it, to the source, she would be healed. She would make it, whatever. She had spent all the money she had, she had gone to doctors and she wasn't healed. Here's a woman that had faith in Jesus and was afflicted. She had tried. She pushed through to her victory. Pushing through till it is in front of you. There is a way to push through it and push to do, to push past. I am going to help you identify the object of this teaching. You will know what it is that you need to begin to work on and it tools to begin the process to push past the obstacles. And we have full access. Unlike the lady, yet he hadn't covered our sins, these people didn't have the Holy Spirit, but everyone that made knew. God's presence is in this room. God's presence mentally, no matter what is going on, God's Spirit is Jesus' garment. We have full access to the Father. The problem is, we construct the crowd. Things because we have full access to Jesus. We have create the obstacles that stop us from getting a hold of Jesus. We are distracted. We may no longer be defeated by whatever addiction or whatever thing it was that used to control us. But if we are distracted, it's almost just as bad, if not worse. We crowd ourselves in with distractions. Good distractions, we call them. Well, I have to work. I have to spend time with my family. My kids have soccer practice. I have to do this. I have to do that. We create the obstacles to be defeated anymore. However, we are distracted. We have created a crowd. We have created a wardrobe that we can't push past into that new world. The veil sins, and we are completely forgiven, and He is our Savior, but He is also, He rose again from the grave. He resurrected. He was resurrected, which I am very guilty of. Tablets, friends, activities that seem harmless but can stop us from these are the crowds that we are creating. We are crowding our lives in with, because all of these things seem good on the outside. They're fun to participate in. They may not be sinful, but they are distracting. We crowd ourselves in. We push others out. We push God out so tightly that we cannot push past them. So what is the problem, and why do we do this? We are in a battlefield. We are in a battlefield of the mind. I don't believe that any of us intentionally create these distractions. These things slowly creep in, and they seem good, but they just keep adding up and adding up, and they slowly take us away just the little bit that we can spend with Him, and keep our eyes focused on Him. The battlefield is in our mind. Twisted thinking from our experiences, have many of you personally, but I have had a rough life. I started using drugs at a young age. I grew up in a home that wasn't the best. I know there's plenty of people that grew up in worse homes, but I was on my own a lot. I was very independent, and my thinking became twisted. I thought that I had to take care of myself, but I did not trust Him fully. The is the truth. The only thing that can begin of the mind by God's Word. I'm sure that everyone else, I've manipulated people to try to get my way. And there are many of us in here that have believed a lie. Believed a lie from a loved one. We were convinced they were telling us the truth. And all these hurts, they create these walls, they create these blocks. And the only thing that can break through is the truth of God's Word, unity in Christ, and what His Word tells us about ourselves. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It just seems too simple. I used to read that verse, and it was back when I was in recovery and I was trying to quit drinking. People would read this verse to me like, "You'll know the truth and it'll set you free." And I'm like, "I understand what you're trying to tell me." But it is the truth that can come fully accepted as truth. The problem was I had accepted too many lies. The idea that I was an alcoholic and that I would always be an alcoholic. And I had a disease, and it wasn't until I learned it was a behavior. Blood tests say, "Yep, you're positive for alcoholism. The rest of your life is going to be horrible." No, my alcoholism became a problem because of a behavior. I engaged. So that was a lie that I believed, and it was a friend that I met, and he helped me get to the point where I realized that this is not a prayer, is that you will find the lies that you have believed, the lies that family members have told you, that have the power that they used to have once we learn the truth of God's Word. You can be set free. Heard as a child, the things that your loved ones, your parents, your aunts, your uncles, for whatever reason, and you accepted it as truth, God's truth can set you free from those lies. Our perception is our reality. Even if the reality is skewed, we accept. For a long time, my perception, my reality, is that I was an alcoholic, and there was no hope. And there was just a matter of time before I gave into it again. And then maybe I... If our reality is the way to recognize these lies that people have told us, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, in Christ Jesus, all things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but the life I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God's Word. There may be some of you in here. There may be some of you in here that need a new... There may be some of you in here that there are people in your lives and you love them. They're family members. They're friends. You've known them for years. You will become like the people that you are closest to. I have close friends. I don't have a lot of friends, but I have time with them, and I become like them, and they become like me, and we encourage the friends that I make, because I know that I will become like those people, and I am very careful about that. Verses, immerse them in the truth. The truth your voice speaks through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How much plainer can you get than that? Sanctify them through Romans 12:1-2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, changing the way we think. How many of us in here will admit that we have some bad thoughts? There's some things that we meditate on that comes from on. I mean, for me, I'm always, but it's like, sometimes I feel depressed, sometimes I feel anxious, and it's like I have to turn to the Lord in the morning especially. That's when I'm vulnerable. Recognizing the problem. Again, the battlefield is untwisted by the refining of our mind. 1 Peter 1:7 reads, so that the gold that perishes though it is tested by fire may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the gold refining process. We are all full of blemishes. And they can only be removed by our willingness to be refined. And let me tell you, this is a painful process. Years ago, I prayed, back when I was drinking, great. Somebody asked me, because I had almost given up, and I was just going to be an alcoholic the rest of my life, and just nonchalantly said, Lord, refine me. Refine me out of my mind. And I prayed that prayer in a way, you know, he answers prayer, and it's like, well, that's not what I wanted. You know, I just wanted you to refine me, and I wanted to quit drinking, and I wanted to be... He really answered my prayer, and things began to change when he answered that prayer, and it just tell you, that is something that if you really want the Lord, if you really want to be free from those little things on you, and it will hurt, he will ask you to give things up. He may ask you to give up friendships. What do you want to do? Give up your TV time and get in his word. Say no to people when they ask you to do things because you know that that person isn't a bad person, but they aren't necessarily a good influence on you. How do we get from here to there? What is the one thing that is missing? Ugh. First of all, the choice is yours. Surrender. There is no other way to get to the next step. We have to choose not to give up, no matter what the circumstance, how bad our car is falling apart and barely gets us to point A to point B. Going through is sometimes the only way to victory. We just want to go around, you know. I don't want to confront people sometimes. I like to just avoid them. And just maybe if I just avoid them, I can get around this, you know. But that's just not the way sometimes. We have a tendency to want to take the easy road and hope to visit my parents in Illinois. There's two ways to go. I can go on the tollway and this other way, pay no tolls, go on a two-lane road, and I take the easy road. I get there faster. But in our spiritual walk, if any of you read Pilgrim's Progress, it talks a lot about this. It seems like you can get there. It seems like you can make it there. And there were different paths for a Christian to see. It seemed easier. And then there was a path that was harder. Well, our human nature says, I don't want to do that. But when God is calling us to a great mountain that we have to climb, sometimes it's the huge circumstance, the wall that seems impossible. And we have to face that thing that just happens immediately. It's a slow process. But we need to get on the road to victory. Our road to victory is paved with difficult decisions. It's a narrow road. If we want to make it to what God has for us, Matthew 7:13, I'm going to try to remember it. It says that wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Wide is the road and broad is small is the road that leads to life. Really. His name was Brian Conover. We went through Teen Challenge together. We had been through so much that this man was not a good influence on me. And I had, even though he was a Christian and he had been through some things for my walk in the Lord, for my family, to protect them, I was painful. And I still am not, still having problems with it, but I know I made the right decision recently because I want God's best for my life. Romans 12:1-2. There's the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. I don't want to be on the fringes just getting by. I don't want to, and things are okay. I want it all. I want to know the Lord deeply. I want to speak to Him every day. I want to know that His presence is with me. His presence is here right now with us. We expect an A tonight. How many of you dig into the Word? But we cannot expect a homework. God is not going to do your homework for you. Skills to study and find the answers we need to apply to our lives. He isn't going. So many of us think that if we just go to church and we do the minimal, if you're willing to do your homework, you will get through. There are amazing rewards. If we receive amazing results, and not just amazing results, but lasting results. Walking the narrow road, the difficult decisions you make, saying, I can no longer be your friend, you're a bad influence on me, you've lied to me, I can't trust you, I'm sorry. We can't be friends. So wonderful. It would be so great to give in to. But we set them aside and we make a good decision. We're faced with the same thing. We know that we've already had victory in that area and it gets narrower. And we are faced with new temptation. That means the Holy Spirit can reveal to you what's going on. Just forget all of that now. I know that sounds way too simple. Ask the Lord to reveal. Do I have any bitterness towards anyone in my life? You need to call them or talk to them. Maybe you need to write them a letter. But maybe it's more just a matter of your heart and you're holding on to it. Or do I have any unforgiveness? Do I have any bitterness? Holding on to this bitterness. And the Lord wanted me to say out loud, I forgive you, Anne. And I fought with him. I was like, I'm not saying it. I'm not forgiving her. No way. But I did it, see. And I was able to pray for her, and things changed. So I challenge you, ask the Lord, ask Him, is there any bitterness in my heart? Is there any unforgiveness? Is there anything that I'm holding on to that I do not see? Every morning, the choice is yours. Okay? Don't give up. Don't give up tomorrow. Life with Christ is a relationship, and it will have a roller coaster of emotions, of victories, of valleys, and of mountaintop experiences. Don't give up. Impossible? No. Difficult? Oh, absolutely difficult. It will take time, and it will not be easy, but you are going in the right direction if you are pursuing God and His Word. Turn and take possession. And Joshua sent the spies into the promised land. I think it was 10 or 12. Will you choose to be those few that believe, no matter how things look on the outside, that the battle belongs? We already stand in a position of victory. The completed work of the hell, and we have His resurrection power in us, and we don't have to give me the victory. We stand in the position of victory, and if we can realize what the completed work of Christ is and understand that, then we can let these things go. We can turn our focus. We can stop worrying about the past. We can don't let your past and stop you from moving on to the next phase. Can we look past what we have seen with our eyes, through getting divorced and losing all of that? Knowing the Lord, I have a story. Maybe sometime I can share my story. But I have an amazing life now. I have a beauty that's blessed me with. Steady Bakes. The key, like I said, in the morning, ugh. But that is the time I need to feel like I can't get to work. I can't face the entire day, and I try to take on the entire day. And all I need to do is just get up, get my shoes on, get to work. And as soon as I'm at work, I feel like being there. Keep pursuing Him. God wants us to experience the fullness. It says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you have life and life abundantly. It's in that order for a reason. Steal from us. Steal the joy of our salvation. Stealing that what we know is ours, that Christ has given us. If we allow Him to steal from things in our lives, but we stand in the position of victory, we do not allow you. You can humble yourself before God. You can resist the devil and back on track. That's for though we walk in the flesh, we get up every morning and we don't like. We deal with, people at the gas station, people at McDonald's, people at restaurants that are just, we are not waging war according to the flesh. We're not supposed to focus our anger at these people. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and are incredibly powerful. We can take a little imagination. In 1 Peter 5:8, it roams around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. We will see these things for what they are. This here, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. They don't understand. If they don't know the Lord, they don't understand. And we don't need to accept the lies that Satan tries to tell us about our overweight. I'll never find a spouse. I'll never, all these things. Because God has promised us so many things. You may not even know where to begin. I had no idea, really. Someone asked me, well, why do you drink?
I said, I don't know.
Then by asking God to reveal to you what it is that you have been perceiving, a book called Absolute Surrender by Andrew Murray. But I spent some to drink. I don't understand it. I don't understand the draw. I don't understand why I can't seem to say no to it. And the Lord showed me. He said, you are trying to self-satisfy. Only me. All just wants you. He loves you dearly. You are created in His image. He formed Adam out of the earth and breathed His breath into him. He lives with him. Ask Him to... I am sure that I have things in my life that I still think are impossible. Someday, I don't know. But ask Him to reveal the incorrect thinking pattern. And little by little, the renewal of your mind will get your thoughts twisted. It took you years of listening to your parents, of relatives, of friends, telling you lies. Even with good intentions they may have had. But to find the truth, it's in His Word. And don't be discouraged if this process takes so that He can gently remove those things that are distracting. And He takes the gold and He puts it in this pot and He heats it up. This thing, and He skims it off. And then He keeps going. And someone asked Him, he said, well, how do you know when it's done? How do you know? He said, when I can see my reflection in it. I know that God is doing for us. He is refining us. If you feel uncomfortable, refining in you. But He is going to continue to work on you as long as you surrender. And until... Be careful what you think. Be careful what you are saying out of your mouth. As you realize the truths of God's Word, so many patterns, there are so many things that I say that are just rote from memory. I just say them. I have family members that say things and I just cringe. How to get through to them and say, that's not the truth. That's not what God... But I will no longer accept it because I know what the Word of God is in Christ. The tongue is a powerful tool. We use our words to hurt people. We use our words to bless people. And I would use my words to hurt people. And now I pity and bless people and say silly things. And especially when I hear people putting themselves down. And I definitely still give into the sarcasm. Matthew 12 says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Coming back again to the time, the people that you are spending time with. Spending time with your close group of friends. The things that are coming out of their mouth. And the only way to change that is to find the truth in God's Word. And to understand Christ. That we stand in a position of victory. The Amplified Bible says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. In behavior, one who manipulates. If you think in your heart that you're ugly, if you think in your heart that I weigh too much, if you think in your heart, I'm bald, I'm not smart enough to do these things, I'm not gifted enough to do these things, and you accept those things, that's what you become. And they are all lies, absolutely. That we are a new creation, that we are crucified with Christ, that He has promised. Identify the impossible circumstance. If you already know whatever it is that you're facing or think about it, pause about it and stay the course. Don't give up. Whatever situation in this life, there is something in God's Word that can help us for any situation. If you don't know what the barrier is, ask God to reveal it to you. He loves you and wants a relationship with you more than anything. We are the bride of Christ. He wants to come back and have that. Don't run from tests and hardships, brothers and sisters. Oh, it's got sisters in it. If you embrace them, your faith will blossom. Huh. true patience as you endure. And true patience brought on by endurance, Willie Quicks, not the McDonald's microwave meal fix, the long journey complete and wanting nothing because you have Christ in your journey, then all you have to do is ask God for it, and God will never scold you for asking. God wants us to ask. Ask God for, I need a couch, I need a bed, I've had some amazing blessings just fall in my lap, things that I wasn't even praying. Wisdom, as James understand it, decisions. Wisdom does come from old age or hard knocks, depending absolutely on God, who is never supposed to seek it. He supplies all the wisdom we need when we ask. But when we try to bypass it, try to take the broad road, we try to figure it out on our own, when we try to manipulate it, trouble is around the corner. He and lived here and ministered and died on the cross and rose from the grave. How much more could he have given? He gave it all. Absolutely everything. How much of you are you willing to give to him? So often we ask, Lord, come into my life, fill my life. But we make no room for him. How can there be room for him when it's full of work, when it's full of doing what you would prefer to do, what is fun? Teach us what he wants us to learn through them so we can know him better. And it's like, oh, this could have been avoided. Why didn't I avoid this? The Lord is trying to teach me something. And if I can get that lesson, I can find joy in that experience, even when I have messed up something. And then it gives me wisdom for the next time. So that we can grow and get ready and in order that we can grow and get ready to fit into some new... Oh, that's the last one. Won't go back though. Won't go back. Say that? No, I think that was the last one.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. Any questions? Comments? Thanks. Pray. All right, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just love you. We just welcome your Holy Spirit in this building, Father God, and invite you in here to fill everyone here with your Spirit. I ask that you touch everyone here with a special touch, Father God, that you speak to them whatever their circumstance is, whatever their impossible situation is that they are facing, whatever seems too hard to handle, God, too hard to face tomorrow, and they're just barely getting through tonight, Jesus, that they don't know how they're going to pay some bills, Lord Jesus. They don't know how they're going to take... Help us to turn our eyes on to you, Lord, the author and the finish of our faith. You have brought us this far, God, and you are not going to leave us. You love us. You have so much for us, Lord Jesus. Open our eyes to see what it is that you have for us. Reveal yourself to us, Father. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.